Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
I am so excited to be with you guys this morning and continuing our God Speaks. If you were here last weekend, it was a little bit of an unusual weekend with Pastor Tom getting to share, which was awesome. Who wants more of Pastor Tom on a Sunday? I will not be offended. I love his teaching gift. And so last weekend we launched our series, God Speaks, and then today we're going to go a little bit deeper into it. So if you have your Bible, get your Bible out. If you don't have a Bible, let us know in the back after service. We're going to get you a Bible. We've got cool Bibles. We've got translations and stuff, but if you have a child, there's something called the Comic Bible. Has anyone ever heard of it? It's really cool. It's a way that kids can actually read the Bible if they aren't into reading. So if you're not into reading, you can have a Comic Bible too. You need another Bible as well to read alongside of it, but it's a great way to get into the Bible if you aren't used to getting into it. So we're asking the question, is God still speaking today? That's the question we've been asking this month. What does Jesus want to say to me? We're talking about how to hear God's voice. And like I said last week, some of us got really scared when I said that because maybe God's voice hasn't actually been God's voice. Someone said a thus saith the Lord to you, and it really messed you up because it wasn't God, and it was used as manipulation. That's not what we're talking about. I call those God cards, right? I had several God cards pulled on me, and it took every ounce of courage to not give into it, even though I knew it wasn't what God was saying, right? And so that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the actual voice of God and different ways we can hear him. And so our key verse is in John 10:27. It says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Can everyone just say follow? That word follow obviously means follow, all right? But it also can mean accompany or assist. Accompany or assist. In other words, have you ever gotten this picture and Jesus is like, follow me. And then he's like speed walking and you're like, I go on walks every night. It's a rhythm my husband and I have been doing this summer before he couldn't walk. Kind of put a dent in that rhythm as a family, not going to lie. But anyway, we've been trying to go on walks every evening. And Phoebe's legs are like the size of my calf. And Brian and I, you know, we walk fast and we walk big strides. We're tall. And so we're walking. And suddenly I look down. This was last week. And she's like, you know, walking like this. And then I was with Vanessa, and we were at the park, at Thrive at the Park, and Phoebe just goes right up to Vanessa, grabs her hand, and wants to go for a walk, which, by the way, Thrive at the Park is this Tuesday. That's how Brian isn't walking, but volleyball is that good. I'm just saying, we go all out, so come Tuesday, don't sprain your ankle, but have fun. So we're at the park, and I realize we're walking a lot slower. And my daughter looks very happy to be walking with Vanessa because Vanessa has other children and is walking slowly. And Phoebe doesn't look like she's like, you know, sprinting. When we get saved and Jesus says, follow me, sometimes there's this picture. There's even a song called Chasing You. I used to run to it. It's a worship song. It's like, I'm chasing you. And that's the picture we get of following Jesus. And I'm not saying there aren't some seasons where we feel like that. But more often than not, God's saying here, accompany me, assist me, participate in the ministry with me. He's not asking you to chase behind him and he's speed walking and you're out of shape. He's saying, I want to walk with you in step. Follow me. Does that make sense? If you get one thing, we can go home now, right? Don't chase after Jesus. Walk with him, right? And when we say yes to following him, like everyone did today publicly through baptism, we aren't saying yes to tagging along. We're saying yes to accompanying him, to assisting him, to following him. It's an active discipleship. We are disciples, right? So last week we talked about how the word voice, my sheep listen to my voice, is phoné in Greek. And we talked to how we have unlimited voices in our pocket. We talked about the phone and how it's phoné, right? So many voices. What voices are you listening to as we talk about the voice of God? And Genesis 3:9, this is the question that Jesus, or God, right, has been asking since the beginning. Who told you that you were naked? The Lord God asked. Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? Who told you? Do you know that God is still asking that question of us today? Who told you? Have you ever said something to someone or said something to yourself? I had that a little bit this week because I was sick and then Brian couldn't walk and then it was like, how are we living, right? And I found myself saying some self-talk and then I heard in my head, because I was going to preach this, who told you that? And I was like, not Jesus, but it feels good and bad to say to myself right now because I just want to like, you know, say it to myself even though it's not true, right? Who told you that? That becomes especially real in marriage or in a tight relationship. Maybe it's a coworker or whatever season of life you're in. If you find that the words you're saying to that person you don't think God would say in love, encouragement, and building them up, it's time to ask yourself, who told you that, right? He still asks us today. Whose voice from the seemingly unlimited ones we have access to in our culture, whether it's human voices, whether it's chaos, whether it's intrusive thoughts, whether it's the desires, are we listening to and following? In order to hear God's voice today, we're going to briefly go back to the two Greek words used for God's word in the New Testament. We've got logos and rhema. And if you've been in the church for a while, don't check out right now, all right? We're going to look at some different ways to understand God and hear him through these words. If it's more of a review, we aren't hearing God perfectly, all right? So just ask God to speak to you, ironically, right? And go a little deeper in it. But logos, if you haven't heard that word before, is the constant word. It's the written word. It's the word of God, like the Bible. I don't think I have my hard copy here, but it's the Bible, all right? Then we have rhema, the instant direct speaking of God to us, and it always lines up with logos. So we start with the written word of God when we're hearing God's voice. We start with the logos to understand the foundation of who God is, his character, his motivation, the way he works, how he has spoken before. And then we listen to the rhema from that foundation to understand what he's saying to us. And God uses the logos to speak rhema to us, right? God's instant word, God's rhema, always lines up with logos. And if that just tied your brain in a knot, that's all right. We're going to unpack it here. The thing that is really important that we understand is if we do either the logos or the rhema without each other, we can easily fall into dead religion, right, where we just are legalistic, or we get so ungrounded, we're just like, I need a word, right? There used to be something called like a conference junkie, right, where it's just like conference hopping, and when I was younger, in my 20s, there were a lot of conferences around. You just go to conference to conference to conference, and you'd see these people, and you're like, well, are you planted in a church? Are you getting into the word of God for yourself, or are you just going to the next conference looking for a word? I need a word, I need a word, I need a word. And sometimes we do need a word, but we are to not just be floating for that rhema word, right? Brian and I were talking about it this week, and he loved to think of it as the logos is the melody in a song, and the rhema is like the harmony, and they go together. And if they ever don't go together, you got to go back to the melody. You got to find the root. Has anyone ever tried to harmonize and it just sounded not pleasant to the ear, right? It happens even here. I've done it even on the worship team. And it's like, everybody go back to the melody, go back to the melody, right? And so sometimes as we're exploring hearing God's voice, we got to go back to the melody. We just always have to anchor every single note in the melody, in the Bible. It never contradicts. So let's unpack these two words for just a few minutes. We're going to start with logos. So can everyone say logos? Was anyone around in Ithaca for the bookstore named Logos? Couple people. All right. Wow. There you go. There was a Christian bookstore in downtown Ithaca called Logos. That'll blast from the past. So we're going to start in John 1. If you want to open up your Bible to John 1. And as you're doing that, I want to let you know that if you got baptized today, and if you get baptized today, everyone who gets baptized is going to go through a 30-day the whole book of John Bible study for the next 30 days to get into the habit of getting into the Word and hearing God's voice. So we're going to start with John 1, verse verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. The very first environment that God revealed himself as the Word was not a gold temple. It wasn't a cathedral. It wasn't even a beautiful nature scene like the Grand Canyon. He could have revealed his voice in any environment, any atmosphere. But it was instead over the void and emptiness and the darkness. And I mentioned this a little bit last week. It says in Genesis chapter 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Just like those waters, the Spirit of God was hovering. I love this because God has never been afraid of sin. He's not afraid of sin. He's not afraid of darkness. He's not afraid of chaos. He's not afraid of emptiness in our lives. And that's the very atmosphere he speaks his voice. If you've ever felt like you have to qualify to hear his voice, or you had a bad day so you don't deserve to hear his voice, or you're not holy enough to hear his voice, creation from the very beginning proves otherwise. And just go to Genesis 1:1 and speak out the truth. That's the atmosphere God speaks. I wonder if Jesus, when he was baptized in the water, was thinking of creation, thinking of the moment he created the world. It says in Matthew 3:17, I'm going to kind of hop around. Normally I anchor in a story, but today with baptisms, we're just going to kind of hop around here. Matthew 3:17, it says, when Jesus got baptized, it says, a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. So over the void and emptiness and darkness of a sinful world, our Father God once again was the Word. And this time, he reset all of humanity, all of creation through his Son. And he spoke over the water again. And then it was revealed, his Savior. Isn't that amazing? I don't know, I love the parallel there. So we often think faith looks like walking on the water, when sometimes it looks like believing God is still speaking over the waters of our lives, over the empty and dark places. I want to say that one more time. We often think faith looks like walking on the water, when sometimes it looks like believing God is still speaking over the waters in our lives. That statement actually was from a sermon a year ago. The last time I spoke on God Speaks was the day before I went in the hospital to have Phoebe. I looked at the recording. I looked horrible. If you were in our church a year ago, like, God bless you. I was like, I looked ill, and I was. I didn't know it. But that's actually the last time we spoke about God speaking, ironically. And that's the one statement I pulled from that sermon, because I thought, I don't know if anyone was paying attention. I was barely present, right? Even though hopefully you got something. It wasn't a bad message, but I was a little pregnant. So some of us today have waters in our life, and we've been praying and praying and praying and say, God, why aren't you walking on the water? Why aren't you parting the water? And God is saying, I am speaking over the water. I'm speaking over the places that feel chaotic, and he's bringing a peace. He's bringing a breakthrough. It just may not look like the breakthrough that you are thinking it looks like. And so I just want to speak that to you as an encouragement this morning. So we have to stop and check, how are we daily asking God to speak, and how are we listening? It seems like a simple question, but just like Jessica and Bill Reynolds shared in their testimony a couple weeks ago, there was a part in their testimony where God was in the back seat. Does anyone remember that? And then there was a part when God got in the front seat, right? And let me tell you, my husband can't drive, and I would rather him be driving in the front seat than in the back seat. Both of us would, for the health of our marriage, right? I'm not as good a driver as I used to be before I had Phoebe. And so I want Jesus driving. I don't want Jesus in the back seat. I've learned that lesson this week with my husband. And so the question is, how are we asking God to speak? How are we actually listening? Exodus 19. In Exodus 19, God meets the Israelites at Mount Sinai, and he invites all of Israel to come up to the mountain to hear him speak. But they reject hearing God's voice because they're afraid. This is like an incredible, this is before Jesus. This is amazing. God is wanting to speak to everybody, and they don't want to hear it. And as the saying goes, the Israelites had left Egypt, but Egypt hadn't let go of the Israelites, right? And that can often happen. And so what we see next in the Bible, if we're looking at it as a timeline, is astounding. God doesn't actually speak corporately again, only through the prophets. until Jesus is baptized in Matthew 3. That is 1,300 years of heaven's silence corporately when people chose fear. 1,300 years. Isn't that incredible? And then the first corporate words that humanity heard straight from God was God affirming Jesus as his dearly beloved son. Isn't that beautiful? So the Israelites reject God's voice corporately, and he doesn't speak again corporately until Jesus is baptized, and he says, "This is my dearly beloved son." The first voice that God chose to make known corporately wasn't a voice of judgment or correction. It was a voice of identity. And after 1,300 years of silence, we needed to know who we are in Christ. And so he started by letting everyone know who Christ is. Are you following this morning? God's voice encourages us in our identity, not in our performance, right? Jesus hadn't done any ministry yet or anything like that. It was before Jesus had done any miracles, and God said, "This is my son." And so if you got baptized today, I want to remind you, because sometimes little voices try to get in our head after something like today. And the good news is, before you did anything for God, God loved you, and he said, "This is my son, this is my daughter. I'm calling you my child," right? That's our identity. It's not based in works. It's based in our identity in Christ. That's good news. Anyone ever got exhausted trying to earn God's attention, or is that just me, right? And so anchoring in the word of God, in the identity that he died to give us, is so important. So in Ireland, they herd sheep a lot, all right? And who's been to Ireland? Anybody? Awesome. All right, several of us, all right? And in Ireland, they herd all the sheep together. Even different shepherds will herd sheep together. And they color the sheep so the shepherds know whose sheep are whose. So they don't, like, steal someone's sheep, right? These are Irish problems, I'm just saying. All right. And so they color the sheep so that the shepherds know the sheep. But the sheep all know their own shepherd. How? Because the sheep know the shepherd's call. So if Vinny is a shepherd and he calls sheep, Tom's sheep aren't going to go to Vinny. Only Vinny's sheep are going to go to Vinny because they know his voice, right? Let's just remember our key verses, right? It says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." But if we go a little bit earlier in John 10, it says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." Remember that word "know." I know my sheep. That word "know" isn't just like an intellectual knowing. It's an experiential knowing. He knows us through relationship. And so from a practical standpoint, if we're talking about shepherds, sheep know the shepherd's voice. This is what research online says. They know by being on a farm with the same shepherd consistently. So daily relationship, all right? They learn the shepherd's voice through daily relationship on a farm. They follow the example of the other sheep and learning. So they get to know the shepherd's voice through community, right? That's a good reason to be in church. That's why I'm so glad we're here together and how that habit can really help us hear God's voice. And then this is a quote. "Shepherds call their sheep using verbal commands, whistles, and even singing to them, often ignoring the calls of strangers entirely. The sheep will just come right to them." And I loved that shepherds sing to their sheep. How many know the scripture in Zephaniah 3:17? It says, "He will sing and be joyful over you. He will save, he will rejoice over you with joyful singing." I always was like, why is God singing? Anyone ever gotten like kind of weirded out by that? I'm like, is this like a concert? Like, what's going on, right? No, if you read that through the eyes of a sheep and shepherd, the shepherd, he'll sing to us so that we know his voice, we know his pitch, we know his call. Isn't that powerful? So the only way to know God's voice is to know his voice. And we do that, of course, by reading the Bible, right? You know, as we, I think you could probably call us a charismatic church, although I don't like to label churches because I don't know what charismatic means anymore. And their labels get weird because definitions change over time. But many of us, maybe if you've been in the charismatic church over the years and things have changed, it's like you've been told a word from God from someone, And then if you get to know them and they're never in their Bible, I'm not going to trust that you're hearing that word from God, because you don't know God's voice. You haven't been on the farm, right? You haven't been listening to the shepherd through the word, right? Everything that we speak, that we think God is saying, it has to be anchored in that scripture, in that foundation. If we aren't in God's word discovering his voice, how will we recognize it in our daily lives? Are we listening to the good shepherd or other voices or other shepherds that are trying to shepherd us? How many know there are a lot of voices that try to shepherd? I mean, right now it's like there's never been more voices. And I said that last week, but I mean, it's just information overload. If information was going to save the world would be saved. Can I get an amen? Right? That would be already saved. And a lot of people worship information. They may not say it that way, but it's like they worship information. I need more information, right? But God gives a peace beyond information, beyond understanding. It's not that we're not supposed to know information, but we don't worship it, right? And we don't want information to shepherd us. We want the word of God to shepherd us, right? And to get into that. If you listen more to hopelessness or the culture around you more than God's voice in the Bible, it's not a mystery when we end up hopeless or we end up confused or we end up filled with anxiousness and frozen and don't know what to do and isolate, right? And so what is shepherding you right now? If you were to look at your schedule, let's just get practical. What is shepherding you right now? God didn't die on the cross for a one-sided relationship, right? He wants that experiential connection. And so if you've ever read the Bible and you want to know how to read it more, like it's like, this isn't coming alive for me. We have a resource. If you go to thriveny.org/connect, there's just a little handout that shows some different ways to read the Bible that are really powerful, including videos called The Bible Project that I absolutely love. But there's all these different resources that can make the Bible come alive to you more and show you different ways to really encounter God. And I really encourage you to do that if you want to grow in your ability to read the Bible and for the Bible to read you. But in the last just 5 minutes here, we're going 5 minutes over, so I apologize because of how Jesus is moving today with baptisms. The second word is rhema. Can everyone say rhema? So rhema is the instant, direct God speaking to us, and it always lines up with logos. So one of the foundations in our marriage that we have is before we make a decision that's going to be life-altering in any way, maybe it's a financial decision or it's a big schedule decision or a work decision or whatever it is, Brian and I come together and we pray. And we don't move forward unless we both hear the same answer. And if that means we are conflicting, then we don't move. We wait so that we can both submit to God in that decision. And let me tell you, that has saved us so many times, because it is really hard to blame your spouse and say, well, you said to do that when you both heard it, right? You can't do that. You can't point a finger. And so I encourage you, if you're married and you're able to do that, or maybe it's with a friend or whatever it is, a pastor, to hear God's voice and to be able to anchor your decisions on that, it can really take away a lot of blame, a lot of shame, and it's really powerful. We don't always hear right, right? We're growing in it, but we can at least seek him first, right? And so that's one way that my husband and I put rhema into action in our marriage. But as I said earlier, we aren't a church that pulls the thus saith the Lord's on each other, right? Anyone had a thus saith the Lord? And some of those thus saith the Lord's are phenomenal, right? But sometimes if you've been in a church, it can feel dangerous because you never know when someone's going to come up to you and say, thus saith the Lord. Have you ever walked into church and you're like, don't make eye contact, right? I don't know. I don't trust anybody. Maybe you got hurt. Maybe it was used. Maybe it was weaponized against you. And I want to say, I am so sorry, because God's heart, when he speaks, he builds up, he encourages, he guides us, and it's out of love. And perfect love takes away fear, right? And so I want to just put that disclaimer that in our church, if you ever feel like God is saying something to you for somebody and it goes beyond just encouragement, right? Maybe it's a directive or corrective, or it's going to change the course of someone's life. Please run that word by a pastor first. Don't just go, thus saith the Lord, right? Because we don't want to hurt somebody. We don't want to misuse God's voice and God's word. But we do believe in hearing God's voice and encouraging each other with it. All right? Are you following? And so this is a really good way to receive a word. So If you're taking notes, you could, or you just hear it. If you believe that you've gotten a word from God, right, maybe direct or someone shared a word with you, number one, you want to test it, all right? So you check the logos, check the word of God. Does it line up with scripture, all right? Number two, confirm it, especially if it's left field or it goes beyond simple encouragement, right? If it's like, you're supposed to move to Africa, it's like, maybe I should confirm that word before I quit everything and just leave, right? And I say that funny, but I know people who have gotten words like that, and it has left them in a state of paralysis because they don't know. They're like, well, if God said that to me, then am I disobeying? If I don't, but I don't think I'm supposed to move to Africa, right? And so that's why it's good to confirm it. And then the third one is to give it to God. Have you ever gotten a word and you feel like it is your responsibility to make it happen? Right? And it is a lot. It's a burden nobody is meant to carry, right? It's like, well, God said this, so I gotta like push to make it happen. No, we wanna test the word with the Bible. We wanna get confirmation, and then we wanna give it back to God. Say, hey, God, if that's you, you're gonna make it happen. I'll follow you. I surrender to you. Guide me. But I'm not gonna force it. And if it's absolutely left field, I'm gonna give it back to you, God. And you know what? If you don't wanna give it back to me, that's all right, right? I trust you. Is anybody following? This is so important. I know this is a little teaching heavy this morning on this, and normally, again, we get into a Bible study more, but it's so important because when we talk about the voice of God, we want to make sure we are honoring God's voice. We want to make sure that we are following him. And so I'm just going to begin to close here with a couple scriptures. Church is a space to learn and grow in hearing and following God, and part of that looks like helping keep it safe, right? We're all learning. We're all thriving. That's what that word means. We're all thriving together. And so that's why I wanted to share a couple of those guidelines as we go deeper in this month on hearing God's voice. I'm just going to read these out. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. That word word is rhema, the spoken word of Christ. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's the spoken word of God. But the word, the spoken word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. 1 Peter 1:25. Those are powerful scriptures. So if you want to stand on your feet, I'm going to end with a really quick story here. I'm going to say it's quick, and then I'm going to say 10 years ago. Don't worry. I know you're standing. So 10 years ago, I went to a ministry training in London, and this was before Brian and I were dating, but Brian gave me a gift of some money to go buy myself something because he was clearly trying to get my attention. And so I did what any girl does, maybe, I don't know, and I went to Harrods Department Store. No, he did not give me $1,000 or more, all right, but I went to Harrods Department Store. It's a 1.1 million square foot luxury department store where you can buy an $11,000 ink pen or a 24 karat gold piano for $440,000 or a $230,000 crystal bottle with 18 karat gold and 5 karat diamonds. I bought a little journal for about $20. It's smaller, I kid you not, than the size of my hand. It's like my finger size. This week, Brian and I were cleaning the office because we're going to be hosting Ryan Bastos in there, and it does not look like a guest room, so y'all can pray for us this week. And so we were moving books, and this little tiny, I'm telling you, this thing is tiny, little leather journal falls down, and I pick it up, and I'm like, oh, look, it's from Harrods Department Store. That's so sweet. And I'm like, did you ever use this? Because I gave it to Brian as a gift for giving me some money to buy myself something. And so I open it up, and there's one page, and that's all it is. I was going to bring it today, but I did not. On that first page, that's all he'd written, and he had written something God had told him 10 years ago. And I read it. The page is this big, all right? We're talking short. How many know sometimes a short word is a better word because you actually understand it, right? It's a little tiny word. I read it out loud, and Brian and I looked at each other, and we thought, that's what we needed to hear right now. That's a word from God for now, not 10 years ago. It was amazing. And so I want to encourage us. You know, when God speaks to us, maybe you're journaling, maybe you're into nature and God speaks to you through eagles and trees and water, whatever it is, God speaks through different ways, right? And we're going to talk about that more next weekend, get practical with it. But if God speaks to you, sometimes it's for now, and sometimes it's for 10 years from now. And that's one of the reasons why it's so powerful to say, hey, God, thank you. I'm going to give this word back to you. Can you remind me when I need it? And you might be surprised at the words, at the scriptures, at the rhema words that come back to you 10 years from now and give you life when you're in crisis and an anchor point. And you had just discounted it because it didn't make sense 10 years ago. You following? It's so powerful. God's word is alive and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, and it endures forever. It always endures, same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the word of God. Amen? So I'm just going to close in prayer. Again, next weekend, we're going to get more practical. We're going to hear different ways God's speaking to us now, more of the rhema, and it's just going to be great. And the Bible study for next week is so good. I almost did it this week, but I was like, no, we're going to save it for next week. So this week's Bible study is good, too. For the Thrive at Home. Get into the Logos through it at home. Let's get in the habit of getting in the Word of God together. So Jesus, right now, I just bless every person this morning. I bless the chaotic void areas of your life to receive God's Word. I bless your eyes and your ears and your spirit to hear the Bible through the active voice of God for your life today. I bless the areas of your life that seem dull or boring to come alive by the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're not scary, you're not weird. You're just God with us now. And you're a good God, full of love, full of compassion. You transform us as we confess our sins, as we repent. You change our lives more than we could ever change our own lives. And so God, we thank you for the new life that we got to celebrate today. And God, we ask that you speak to us in new ways. Maybe it's through an inner conviction. Maybe it's through a dream. Maybe it's through a circumstance or nature. Maybe it's the audible voice of God. Whatever it is this week, God, we just say, speak. We are listening, just like Samuel. Transform us by the power of your word and your voice in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.